We're now going to have our Bible reading. So if you need a Bible, please wave your hand in the air and the steward will come and bring you one. And tonight really concludes our kind of series looking at seven reasons why Jesus says that we need him. And so tonight we're going to be opening up John's Gospel once again and turning to chapter 15, which is on page 1083. So John chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." This is God's words to us this evening. And just before we turn back and look at what these words mean for us today, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we trust that these are your living words. And so as we look at this, your word this evening, please teach us. Please show us for who we are. Please show Jesus for who he is. Please warm our hearts to the gospel, to the good news of our Lord Jesus. Father, please help us to listen and to act on what you say through your word this evening, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Stick or twist, leave or remain. Whatever age or stage you are this evening, these are two questions that I'm sure would have come up at some stage in your life, perhaps even this week. Stick or twist, leave or remain. There's certainly questions that have kind of dominated our news screens with Brexit and all that that's been going on. Feels like a lot longer than just a year, actually, doesn't it? But these are probably questions that face us both in the everyday of life, but also in the big questions of life. So should I remain in my particular line of work, or should I move on? Should I remain single, or should I seek a relationship? Should I remain a Crystal Palace fan, or should I leave them behind and support a team that might win something? Stick or twist, leave or remain. Now, I'll start with these thoughts because, and the big call in our passage this evening is to remain. It comes up, I think, 9 times in our passage. And Jesus here is speaking directly to his disciples, specifically 11, because Judas at this point is gone. We see that in John chapter 13. And Jesus, who is moments from heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, to his arrest and to his death on the cross, here he provides his disciples with one final picture that defines why they need him and also why we need him so desperately. And with the picture he describes, he helps us to identify 3 key things, 3 things that we're going to look at this evening, which are simply who he is, who we are as his disciples, and what we must do. So who Jesus is, who we are as his disciples, and what we must do. And to do that, we're focusing mainly on verse 5 of our passage, though we will look elsewhere in the passage that I read. But I hope these things will be helpful for us to reflect on, whether you would call yourself a disciple of Jesus yet or not. You see, these words are essential for us to hear because they are a matter of life and death. So here's our verse we're really going to be focused on. Let me just read it to you again. Jesus says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So firstly, who is Jesus? Well, just like in previous weeks, Jesus gives us a clear image to reflect on, to know him better. And the image we have this week, the first 4 words up on the screen, is "I am the vine." We have it in the first verse I read too, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Well, what does he mean when he says, "I am the vine"? Well, I guess before we can really get into it, we need to just reflect on this phrase, because in the Old Testament, vine comes up lots of times to describe God's chosen people. You see, Israel is often represented in the Old Testament as a vineyard planted by the Lord from which he expects to go to and find good fruit or good grapes. But ultimately, every time he goes, what does he find? He finds only bad grapes, which have to be thrown away. So just as a flavor of this, in Isaiah 5, verse 7, we read these words. "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. God looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress." You see the image? God looks for the fruit of justice, but he doesn't find that. He finds bloodshed. He looks for the fruit of righteousness, and he finds only cries of distress. You see, I'm sure all of us here would have experienced the disappointment of reaching for the fruit bowl only to find the pears or the grapes kind of gone off. Particularly, I guess, this week in just the heat we've had. Has anyone experienced that? You've gone to get some fruit and it's gone off and it's disappointing. It's not what you expected to find. And yet this spoiled fruit is exactly the point of the verses I just read to you from Isaiah. See, God's planted this beautiful vineyard, but rather than producing a wonderful crop, it was spoiled. It'd gone off. It was only good for throwing out. Now, when we remember that this is describing God's people, that should shock us. See, surely there should have been good fruit among God's people after all God had done for them in rescuing them from Egypt, from providing for them in the wilderness, and so on. But no, at their heart, the vine of Israel is rotten and deserving of destruction. It's a reminder of the sinfulness of God's people, a sinfulness that we reflected on this morning at church, but a sinfulness that we all know too well, don't we? For like them, we are naturally rotten to the core. But this is just one side of the coin here, because although it highlights the wickedness of God's people, when Jesus says, "I am the vine," or "I am the true vine," it also highlights not just our imperfection, but Jesus' perfection, his holiness. For Jesus always produces good fruit. He always did what his Father commanded him to do. He was always obedient, which makes him like anyone else who will ever find. His fruit has never gone bad. And yet when you come back to just the story, the flow of John's gospel at this point, where is Jesus heading to? He's going to the cross, isn't he? Jesus at this point is about to head to the place of shame and judgment that spoiled fruit deserves, that the vine of Israel deserves for their corruption. And we see, don't we, at the cross, Jesus took on himself our spoiled lives and was pierced for our disobedience. Jesus went to the cross out of love for his disciples, and even more than that, he went to the cross out of obedience and out of love for his Father who commanded him to go. So as we think of Jesus as, when he says these words, I'm the vine, the first thought we need to think of is actually Jesus is the perfect one. He's perfect. But as we consider this phrase even more, there's more to squeeze out of this image. You see, the vine points to Jesus' perfection, but it also points to his power, because you cannot have branches or fruit without a vine. If there's no life source for the branches, then the branches will die, or they won't come into existence. So as Jesus calls himself the vine, he is declaring that he is the one that we must be connected to. He is the source of life. Without him, we are nothing. So even just think of the reason why John's writing this whole account, which we've come back to again and again in this series. So at the end of John's gospel, he writes, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So when Jesus says, "I'm the vine," we must understand, we must see that he is the source of perfection, but he is the source of power too. And as Jesus leads the way to the Garden of Gethsemane and to betrayal and to death, he speaks to his disciples and he says, "I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. This is who I am. I am the source of perfection. I'm the source of power. I am life." But Jesus doesn't stop there. See, he's described himself, "I'm the vine," but then he goes on to describe his disciples. See, look how verse 5 goes on. Jesus says, "I'm the vine," says, "You, disciples, are the branches." Now, to put it more bluntly, you could even say, "I'm the vine, you are not the vine." That's another way of saying, "You are the branches." And as he speaks to his disciples, Jesus speaks these words to us today. You are not the source of perfection. You are not the source of power. Just as branches are completely dependent on the vine to have life and to grow, so must we all stick to Jesus if we are to have life and to grow. You see, just have a look at this branch, which I took from a plant just outside the church. Sorry, probably shouldn't have done that. But now taken from the plant, this branch is going to die, isn't it? Yeah? Do you think I think it's actually already dead, but let's pretend it's living. This branch is going to die. Without the plant, it's going to die. You see, it's silly, wouldn't it? If this branch said to the plant, "Oh, I don't need you anymore. I'm just going to go and live life on my own over here somewhere." That'd be a silly thing to say, wouldn't it? Firstly, because branches can't talk. But secondly, because without the plant, the branch has no life. It only has life when it's part of the plant. Now, if Jesus was to have today's technology at his disposal for illustrations, perhaps he would have made an "I am" statement using electricity. So perhaps, "I am the electrical power source and you are the cables." So now some of you realize now that's the reason why there's a Dyson on the stage. They didn't just leave it out. There's a reason for this. Now, I did want to use this as an illustration, but partly I thought it'd also be good just to get one final use out of the apprentices before they go off. So that's one of the reasons it's there. But consider, okay, so the Dyson. Does this have power on its own? No. 4 or 5 people think it doesn't have power on its own. Well, it doesn't. Look, it can't I can't use it for how it's been made at the moment. It's not doing what it's created to do. What does it need? Apart from a bit of fixing, I think. What does it need? It needs power. It needs to be connected to the source of power. Now, hopefully. I think it needs a bit of attention, actually. But you get the point. On its own, it has no power. It can't do anything. It can't do what it was created to do. Connected to the power source, it can, as it were, live as it was created to do. Without the power source, it's useless. It has no purpose. With the power source, it does what it was made to do. See, come back to these words again in John 15. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the vine. He is the source of perfection and power. He is life. Who are we? Who are the disciples? They are the branches, dependent on the vine for everything. They have no life unless they're connected to the plant. They have no life unless they're connected to the vine and to the source of power. The branches are completely dependent on the vine. And so as disciples, we are completely dependent on Jesus. Whether you're a disciple of Jesus or not, all of us need to hear this. Without Jesus, we are like this branch without a plant, and like a Dyson that's not connected to the power. We're essentially useless. We have no life. We cannot live the way we were created to live. And we must recognize that our place in creation is that. We can only have life now and into eternity if we are connected to the Lord Jesus. He is the vine. You are the branches. We are completely dependent on Jesus for everything. Dependent on each breath we take. Dependent on the forgiveness of our sins. Dependent for every growth in our obedience to him. And dependent on Jesus for eternal life. Jesus is the vine. You are the branches. So what are the disciples called to do? Well, just as we started with, Jesus calls his disciples, and he calls all of us here tonight to remain in him. Let me just read verse 4 and 5. Follow it with me as I read it. Verse 4 and 5. Jesus says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, hopefully you're starting to get the image here. If Jesus is the true vine, then we must stay connected to him. We must remain in him. So the question is, well, how do we do that? How do we remain in Jesus then? How are we going to stay connected to Jesus? Well, thankfully, we're not left wondering as to what the answer to that is, because this verse and the rest of the passage there to kind of help us see this. And the answer really is to do with Jesus and his word. It's the way we are connected or regrafted into Jesus as the vine in the first place. And it's how we continue on as disciples. So just let me show you from the passage. So look at verse 3, for example. Jesus says to his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Jesus says they've already been cleaned. They've been reconnected and grafted back to the vine, as it were, by the word he's already spoken to them. The word that they've already believed in. Now just glance down to verse 7. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you." See, remaining in Jesus is seen as his living words remain in his disciples. As we hold on to the words that Jesus has given them. Look at verse 10. Just one more example. Verse 10, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Remaining in Jesus is seen in our active obedience to what he says. So how are we going to remain in Jesus? How are we going to keep going? Well, we remain in Jesus as we stick to his word and as we grow in our love and obedience to him and what he says in his living word. And as we do these things, we will, by grace, remain in him. But also, he promises that as we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. That's our purpose. That's our goal, that we will grow. And this growth will be seen as we grow to be more like him. That our thoughts and our attitudes will be increasingly shaped by his word. So listen to this prayer that Paul prays for and the Colossian believers, because it kind of models this. So as he prays for them, he says this: "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." So essentially he's saying that he wants them to be filled. He wants them to know God and his word. "So," he goes on to say, "so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." See, that is the goal of our faith, to grow more like the God we serve, to bear fruit of a changed life, from one that was corrupted and spoiled and only good for throwing away, like a branch on its own, from that way of life, to one that is grafted into the vine and empowered to grow and to live and to bear fruit. I'm convinced too that this fruit is also a picture of seeing others come to faith in Jesus and witnessing them experience the cleansing and changing word that he brings. Just look how our verse ends on the screen. "So you will bear much fruit if you remain in Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Without being connected to the power source, we are utterly useless. And yet with Jesus, we can do all things for the glory and honor of God. Stick or twist, leave or remain. When it comes to the biggest decision of life, these are the two options. Will you remain in Jesus? Or will you choose to live life away from him? Will you stay connected to Jesus through his living word? Or will you try and find meaning and purpose to life without the one who made you? See, as disciples, remaining in Jesus is our constant call. It's a daily discipline. See, Jesus isn't only the vine on a Sunday. He is always the source on which we are dependent. We must remain in him. And if you're not yet a disciple of Jesus, do you see the warning of this passage? It's a flashing red light. See, life without Jesus is like a branch without a vine. It is useless. It will end up being thrown away. But before you can remain in Jesus, you need to come to Jesus. You need to ask him to be grafted in, to be reconnected with him, the source of life. Please don't wait to do that. Why not ask Jesus to do that tonight? He is the vine. Just as we end, can we say these verses together? Just so it kind of cements a little bit in what we've seen tonight. Let's say it together. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this picture that Jesus gives to us. And we do want to pray that whoever we are this evening, that Jesus would become more in our eyes, that we would become less. That we would recognize, perhaps even for the first time this evening, that Jesus is the source of perfection and power, that Jesus is life. That we are simply branches, that he longs to be grafted into him, branches that he's made and designed. Our Father, as disciples of the Lord Jesus, please would you help us to remain in Jesus, the perfect one, the source of life. Help us to remain in him by knowing your word, by depending on you daily for help, for seeking to live it out, that you would be pleased with us, that we would bear fruit in our lives. Our Lord God, please would Jesus remain in us and we in him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.